Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. After extensive research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create Superfood Complete, made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several that are vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Tucker, oh, he loves it, and I'm sure yours will too. Go to badlandsfood.com/ZABE and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsfood.com, badlandsfood.com/ZABE today. If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/ZABE.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, good to connect again. We get to find out where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, and in this case, Carmen Sandiego is Church and his girl, Roxy. Where are you, Carmen Sandiego?
I am in Deadwood, South Dakota.
Oh, nice.
Calamity Jane and Wild Bill Hickok.
Did you ever watch that show on HBO?
I did. I thought it was a very good show.
He was so good.
One of the all-time great acting performances by Ian McShane. He was just so good at being evil and such a great actor. Oh, good show.
What was great was that, so he was clearly the big, scary, bad guy when the series began. And you're like, oh, don't fuck with this guy. He'll cut a guy's throat. And then another scary bad guy came in the form of Cy Tolliver, played by the great Powers Booth, now resting in peace. And he was not quite as powerful because he was newer to the camp than Al Swearengen, but he was crazy fucking sick and evil. And then they brought in an even bigger bad guy, Hearst, who scared the shit out of everybody because he had the most money, could hire the most guns and henchmen, and was there just to bully everybody off the land and take the gold.
It was a good show. Every good show's got to have great bad characters. And that show had it. I mean, that's just so pivotal, Zabe, for every show you have to have the great anti-hero, and you know, the people you hate and sometimes love to hate and or respect the hate. Yeah, every great show needs it, right? You know, Game of Thrones had it. I've told you before, Caddyshack, Judge Smales is like he makes that.
Smales is the hero. Smales is the hero. I've seen those breakdowns by podcasts saying, you know, the guy worked his whole life, worked his way up to being a judge. He just wants to belong to a nice private club where they don't shit in the pool. And, you know, he can play golf without assholes like Al Chervik coming in, messing up his day.
Exactly. He's the good guy. And I love it. I just, you know, Deadwood was a terrific show. It's a tiny town. And I don't imagine you've ever been to Deadwood.
I have not. Now, how much of the old, the original stuff has been preserved?
Not much from what I can tell. Now, yeah. I've been here for a half hour and I've driven down the main street and gone to my hotel. That's it. So
okay.
I can't say authoritatively, but from what I've seen here, I mean, I'm in a DoubleTree, right? And next to us,
you're not in the Gem Saloon.
Right? Exactly. But there is, it appears, it's what I can tell from looking at the historic Deadwood visitors guide that they gave us, one of the brothels is still standing.
Is it legal?
No.
Okay. Yeah, well, there you go.
I mean, yes and no. Yes and no.
Oh, well, what do you mean yes and no?
Well, consenting adults, same.
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying. All right. So anyway, yeah, here's a bite from Deadwood where he's talking about, what can I get you? Whiskey, snatch?
Whiskey, rum, snatch? Whiskey, rum, snatch?
I'm going to get me a whiskey, Doc. You mean whiskey?
No, I do not want a fucking whiskey.
I don't want a fucking whiskey.
Welcome to fucking Deadwood. Can be combative.
Welcome to Deadwood. Can be combative. That was when a newcomer came and he had just finished getting into a knockdown, drag-out fight in the middle of the muddy thoroughfare. Good stuff.
It.
Okay.
I love it. Now, do you think the term snatch is historically accurate, or is that, what is it, an anachronism when you something that's out of time, you know?
I'm here to tell you that I, being such a fanatic of the series, I've read a lot of stories about David Milch, who was the writer and creator of the show, and the vulgarity, which blew people away, because fucking cocksuckers was used every 5 seconds almost by every bad guy. And they used other vulgarities and horribly racist and everything else. Milch said, look, that was not historically accurate, that language. However,
yes,
if I used the language that was historically accurate, it would not come across as nearly shocking, violent, or dangerous enough. Phrases like, you dared gummit, you know, you dare, you know, you horse thief and lions. Like, they had much more gentle language then, but in civil society, it was not used. But out in the frontier west, like Deadwood, South Dakota, it was. So he had to amp it up with the language. And he admitted that's not historically accurate. But it was glorious.
And that's fair.
Yeah. All right.
That's it, fair. I mean, if you had a bunch of guys going, dag gummit, you'd be like, what? Who cares? You know, right. Yeah. Because you know, the sensibilities of today's audiences are, we're not a dag gummit society anymore,
no.
Zabe.
No. All right. Before we get to the NFL continues to ruin itself, and I sadly am going to watch every minute of it again this year, dicks. Yeah. And the annual NFL coaches photo and some pro day stuff. Let me hear about where you and Roxy have been, the highs, the lows, the misadventures. Give me the 5-minute recap.
Okay. Well, last we talked, I think I was in Pueblo, Colorado at the beginning of our roughly just under 3-week long driving camping trip.
You're getting some government publications, I found out. That's why Pueblo rang in our ears. They have a government printing distribution place. So it's like, if you want a transcript of today's Face the Nation, send your envelope to Pueblo, Colorado.
That was it. That was it. You and I were racking our brains going, how do we know? There was always like the sign off or whatever. Yes, that was it. Exactly. Yeah. Well done. We went to an RV park that was in a Hopi Indian reservation where you could tour the ruins of the reservation. But more importantly, we were about 45 minutes away from Petrified National Forest.
Wow. And Zabe,
it was amazing in no small part. I mean, in part because here are like these trees that are all fossilized as rocks, and they're, you know, some of them, they're all, you know, they're down on the ground, and that part's really cool. But in the middle of it, Zabe,
Hold on a second. Your phone is cutting out. It feels like you got some water in your phone from swimming with it today in the pool. So just go ahead and shake it out for me. Take it off your ear. Give it a good shake, shake, shake. If you're using Bluetooth, get off the Bluetooth. This works 8 out of 10 times for me reliably. If not, you'll have to hang up and call back.
I'm shaking as I speak right now. I am shaking. I have one bar of LTE in Deadwood, South Dakota.
Okay, no wonder.
That might be a little bit more of it.
Okay, all right, continue. So the Hopi Indians are my favorites. Yes. Yeah, so Petrified Forest. Were there any petrified trees standing upright still?
No, they were all laying down. Nothing was upright at this point, but massive rolling hills and valleys and stuff, and really some beautiful canyons. You got to see real petroglyphs, so like 1,000-year-old petroglyphs that have been carved into the sides of rocks.
Ooh, but I'm looking at them right now. Wow.
It is amazing. It really is. Petrified Forest National Park. People had told us, it's way cooler than it sounds, and it absolutely was. But Zabe, the whole thing turned magical, and it would have been great anyway. We get there, it's 32 degrees, and it
snows.
In the middle of it, here comes Sneet.
And Sneet!
waves of powerful Sneet, and then, Zabe, Thunder Sneet.
Thunder Sneet!
It was thunder and lightning and sneezing all at the same time, Zabe. It was unbelievable. As a two-decade-long certified sneeze spotter, this was the highlight of my meteorological life. It was an unbelievable scenario that I never would have even dreamed of, thunder sneeze. But I got thunder and lightning in the middle of a pounding sneet. It was the best.
All right, if I may, we're talking about sneet, not grapple, correct?
That's right. It's similar but different.
All right, for those that don't know, grapple is a specific kind of snow variant in which they are tiny little, extremely light pellets that fall gently down to the ground. Grapple, G-R-A-U-P-E-L. Now, sneet is somewhere in between sleet and snow.
That's right. It's a wetter form of grapple.
Okay.
And for those of us that, you know, really care and follow this stuff closely, sneet is more rare, and so it's always more special than the run of the mill grapple. But yes, it was. Zabe, I'm in the middle of this magical national park with all these epic scenes, and then right there, the thunder sneet.
Did you get digital assets, video, photos, selfies?
I did, as a matter of fact, yes. if you go to my Twitter account, you can see it.
Go to your Twitter account, I'll check it out. All right, great. So real quick, so these petrified logs, these giant trees, they look like they have been neatly chainsawed into sections.
Yes. Right.
Was that because somebody cut them up like a cake and then left them to petrify, or how did that happen?
No, my understanding is that there was none of that has been touched by man. And you look at it and they're cleaved evenly. And so it's thought to be from epic events in past eons where these trees got hammered by natural forces and ended up getting cleaved and then eventually petrified.
Wow. So they turned to rock just because
they
turned
to solid rock.
How?
Yeah. Just time. I don't, you know, like a million years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Million years. Try to get a million years into your head. I cannot get a million years.
No. A million seconds ago was something like, 1950 or something like that.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, it's hard to fathom millions. Our brains don't wrap around it very well.
Year zero, all right? So after Christ was crucified, that's 2,000 years and change, right? 2,000 goes into a million. Where's my calculator? How many times? Can't even calculate it. It's unbelievable.
5,000? I don't know. Something like that. I don't know. I think it's got a five at the beginning.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, all right, cool. So you did that. All right, then where were you off to?
So then pack up the camper. We had mostly cold, wet weather, and then we got to Zion, Zabe. And Zion is amazing, but I'll mention this as we pull into Zion.
Give it the full name and where it's at. Come on now.
Zion National Park is one of like the five biggies in the U.S.
Don't be a judgmental dick. Utah. We're a podcast. Some people may not know. You got to explain. Okay. Zion National Park in Utah?
Yep, southern Utah.
Okay. Got it.
Just over the border from Arizona. Now, Rox and I are at a dilemma. So we to get in to Zion, you have to go through a long tunnel, about a half mile long tunnel. And we pull in at 6:15 p.m. After 4:30 p.m., they will no longer shut down the tunnel to stop traffic for RVs. And if your camper is taller than 11 and a half feet or wider than 7.5 feet, you can't fit in the tunnel without them shutting down the tunnel for traffic. No. So we pull up just through the front gates, and there's a big sign. It's like, don't go if your camper is this big. We were 1 inch shorter and 1 inch wide, or 1 inch less wide, one narrow. Inch narrower.
So you had an inch, an inch vertically and an inch horizontally, and you said, and did you feel good about testing that?
No, I did not feel at all good about testing that.
How could you even get
house on wheels?
How could you even get through without scraping the side? You're not that good of a driver.
Who is that good of a driver? Nobody. I mean,
especially because you're towing it. You're towing it, so it's going to angle and it's going to sway. There's no way you get that through there clean.
Right. So now I've got this big dilemma. We've been driving all day. I got nowhere to go. My reservation is for the other side of the tunnel, and it's turning dark. The sun's going down. What do I do? And Roxy and I are like, what, you know, do we risk it or not? Do we try to get through the tunnel? And a few minutes as we're ruminating on this, a few minutes later, we see a park ranger come by. So go running to this park ranger. I'm like, what do I do? I've got 1 inch of clearance. Do I dare go through? And she looks at me kind of exasperated, and she says,
annoyed,
I'll close down the tunnel for you. And that lets you drive through the middle of the tunnel. So she goes through. She goes the other side of the tunnel. She closes off traffic both directions.
How long is the tunnel?
It's about a half mile.
Jesus.
And yeah. And so we were able to get through. Now, Zion is, we pull in, by the way, Zion, it's all dark. After once dusk comes, everybody's encouraged to make no sound and turn out all your lights. And it is, so you can see all the stars. It's the only light is from the campfires from all over the campsites. And you do these series of switchbacks to get down to the camp area. And even in the dark, I'm like, this is pretty amazing. And then you get up in the next, I got up in the next morning, Zabe.
And you're like, wow.
And on either side of us are mile up. On either side, we're at the base of a canyon. On either side, mile up, are these amazing red mountains.
Yeah.
And it is stunning. The words can't describe and photos don't do justice to.
I'm looking at the photos online, and they are stunning just on the internet. I can only imagine waking up to them in the bracing, brisk, cool, early spring air. Was there snow on the ground?
There was not snow on the ground,
but it was cold.
And the weather was in the morning, you'd wake up at about, it'd be about 40 degrees. By mid afternoon, it was about 62, and it was great. Now, day one, Roxy and I decide we want to go hiking. We picked a trail that went 4 miles uphill, Zabe. And I'm talking heavy grade uphill, like a little bit like going up the roller coaster, chunk, 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 as you're going up the hill. It was 4 miles of that.
Did you know that it was that long?
No, we really didn't.
They don't have maps. Said, they don't have a trail maps that go, all right, this one's kind of advanced. Try this one. It's a little bit less steep.
They did, and we kind of blew it off, and we didn't realize how long it was. We were like,
we got this. We're strong.
Right.
We're not old.
Exactly. We're still young, vibrant, virile. We are going to be able to, this is not going to be a problem. And we start walking up and up and up and up. And it's switchbacks up and down, back and forth. It was, by the time we got to the top, we're dying. It was brutal, Zabe. It was 4 miles of this to get all the way up. Now, once we got up, epic vistas that, the kind of stuff you can't see anyplace else. And so totally worth it. And we're up there and we're panting. It's thin air, right? So we just went up 2,500 feet over the course of four miles of trail. And we're up there, we're dying. And then, like, here's an old lady next to me. And she got up there. And here's, an 8-year-old kid. And he's, running around.
Right.
I'm dying here. Come on.
Well, that's fantastic. So, by the way, Zion National Park is ranked 6th in the unofficial U.S. News and World Travel, U.S. News and World Report, Best National Parks 2024. Yes. Glacier National Park is number 1, Montana. Mm. Yellowstone is number 2 in Wyoming, yep. Montana, and Idaho. Yosemite is 3, Grand Canyon 4, Grand Teton 5. So and then Zion 6. I assume you're going to try to collect them all, as the kids like to say.
Maybe in time. Okay. But we're not feeling a lot of pressure, but we did ultimately leave the camper in Utah to hit Bryce Canyon next. So the next trip we'll hit that. That's slated for sometime in May.
So the camper's been parked?
Yep, it is parked in Utah because all the stuff you just mentioned, virtually all of it is in the western U.S. So, that's where all the great cool stuff is. I know. So that's where we're leaving our camper.
Okay.
Yeah. No point hauling it back to Minnesota.
All right. And so
Day 2, let me mention this. So all the roads are closed to all the roads at Goning Ranch Sting are closed to traffic except shuttle buses that they run for visitors. And so what we did, we rented e-bikes on the second day.
Ooh.
And these e-bikes, have you ever been on an e-bike?
Yeah.
They're a blast.
They're fun as shit. So fun. Yeah.
Super fun. And so we were able to take all of these roads unobstructed. We ran into two shuttles the whole time. That was it. Unobstructed all the way up to the very, very top of Zion, all the way down. You could park wherever you wanted and just sort of hop out and go run down trails and go, oh, I'm going to go down to the river. Let's go walk down there. And we e-biked for the whole afternoon, and it was awesome. It's just, Zion's amazing. Highly recommend.
Makes you feel inspired, part of nature, in awe, and it kind of makes you hate the stupid, bullshit, overstimulated, junk food world that we live in day to day, right?
It does. What are we doing here?
It's like inspiring and depressing all at once.
Yep, because you go back to life in the crowded city suburbs.
Suburb doing all the generic bullshit, and you're out there in the most beautiful parts of this country and just going, wow. Not that you can live out there because, I mean, some people try, obviously, but, people need money. And they got to eat, and they have a vehicle. They've got to keep it maintained and repair it. And other than working in the gift shop at Zion National Park, how are you going to make money, right?
Yeah, well, the towns in southern Utah are all growing wildly. Part of it's California flight and Seattle flight and stuff like that. But it's also, who doesn't want to be, do you want to be an hour outside of Zion? Yeah, I'm interested in that.
Yeah, that's not bad.
An hour outside of Bryce Canyon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So those towns are doing real well. Yeah.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Listeners have been emailing me about their great experiences when they visited a Tecovas store, the company renowned for upholding timeless traditions and delivering top-notch quality in every pair of cowboy boots. If you haven't experienced their exceptional craftsmanship firsthand, why wait any longer? Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have custom leather branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
All right. The NFL is fast apace in fucking everything up. Nothing that they have done excites me, although I will shock you with one little wrinkle. I can understand why they banned the hip drop.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I know.
What are you talking about?
You're like, who
this
am I talking to right now?
This is the most anti-Zabe thing ever, right?
Well,
you should hate this. I hate it.
It's a very dangerous play. It injures the fuck out of guys. And if the referees say that they feel like they can call it reliably, then I guess it's okay to weed it out. Do you miss the horse collar tackle?
No.
No, neither do I. So I don't think I'm going to miss this one. Now, I hate the fact that if you just touch or glance a quarterback near the head, they'll throw a flag. That is what makes me the most mad. These hip drop tackles, I don't know how many they're going to call this coming season, but I don't think they're going to be the kind of game changers that these bullshit roughing the passer penalties are.
Well, let's hope not. Here's my concerns with your logic. Number one is it's extremely objective if somebody does a horse collar tackle. Did you grab somebody around the back of the shoulder pads and pull them to the ground? I mean, you know, really objective. The hip tackle in real time is highly subjective. And I can't believe that Steve Zabin said, well, if the refs think they can call it, then that's good enough for me. Since when? Who are you?
I know.
This is not the Zabe I know that is ready to relinquish this duty to referees and their judgment. That is nothing like you.
Part of it is I got to pick my battles now because I'm pissed off that they expanded your challenges. So it's now 1 for 3. You get one right, then you get 3 challenges instead of just 2. That's bullshit. That's the Dan Campbell rule for you right there in action.
Oh,
and this new kickoff, this new kickoff is completely for pussies. And this league, the NFL, that I thought once had pride, adopted something that shitberg wannabe XFL invented. And I think that, you know, somewhere George Halas is rolling over in his grave saying, hey, we're the NFL. We don't copy these dipshit leagues. They copy us.
Yeah, okay. But something had to be done with the kickoffs
because
it was 95% of the time it was a non-play. It was like the old extra point.
Yeah, well, move it back.
There was no drama in it at all.
Yeah, move it back 5 yards and that fixes it. I'm not
but they already moved it up 5 yards because they were trying not to have as many returns.
I know. It's like Michael Scott in The Office. Snip, snap, snip, snap, get a vasectomy, reverse it, snip, snap. They don't know what they're doing. It's so dumb because to me, the aesthetic of a kickoff is a big booming kick that flies end over end and starts a football game and starts a half and puts the ball back in play after scores. This dinky ass bullshit pussy boy fake ass kick return the XFL has is a joke.
Have I told you my theory for how we should start and end halves?
No, but I'm all ears, I guess.
You're not going to like it, but I love it. Teams should effectively auction where they're willing to take the ball.
Oh,
and whoever's willing to take it, whoever's willing to take it in the worst position gets the ball there. Yeah. Like, I'll take it at my own 10.
I'm gonna auction your fucking camper off without you knowing it. You'd be gone one day. You and your auctions. Look, this is not Dungeons and Dragons. This is supposed to be an athletic contest.
It still would be, but it's not really an auction. And like, there's not really bidding, but it's just like whoever's willing to take the worst field position gets it. I think that works.
Hey, you know, and everyone's like, so with the new kickoff, if you're gonna onside kick, you have to declare it, and they got to move you back to the old kickoff line.
That's too bad.
So there's no sneak onside kicks.
No, but there wasn't anyway. They had already taken the sneak out because
they had already ruined the onside kick.
On one side and
although in fairness, the sneak onside kick was in regulation with the current rules because the players were spread on either side of the ball. You know
that's
what I'm
true.
Saying? Because you had to conceal it. You couldn't, you know, whatever. But I mean, the sneak onside kick has a place in championship lore. When the Colts did it, or the Saints did it against the Colts in the Super Bowl to start the second half.
Yeah, it was the best move by Sean Payton, who I hate, but that was probably the best move of his coaching career. I mean, knocking Brett Favre out of the game against the Vikings.
Exactly. So,
but who cares? Who cares?
So, yeah, so all those things suck. It just depends on which you think sucks the most. I got to pick my battles. If they can't call this hip drop right, or if they only call it once or twice a season, no big deal. But if it's bad and they can't do it, then they could, in theory, get rid of it after a year. And my instinct is like, well, nothing ever goes away once they put it in. Not true.
It's like taxes, Zabe.
I know. It's like laws and taxes. Once they're on the books, good luck killing them. But that 1 year, that dipshit year of appeasing Sean Payton and the Saints about, well, let's review pass interference. How hard can it be?
Yeah.
That lasted 1 year. And they thankfully said, okay, enough of this bullshit. So I don't know. It's, you know, nothing's getting better with the league. Nothing. It's getting louder.
One other thing.
It's getting more expensive. It's getting spread out over various streaming services, but better? None of it's getting better.
You mentioned the additional challenge. You know what that is? This is I think you missed on the real reason that they have the additional challenge.
What's that?
It's a free TV timeout. That is a whole other segment of commercials. right?
Oh.
Coach throws the challenge flag. Coach throws the challenge flag, and Jim Nantz says, when you come back, we'll find out what happens. We've got there's a free 2 minutes of commercials that they just injected into a game that otherwise would not have had those. And you roll that up across a whole season and, you know, whatever, 500 games they've got, you know, now that's millions of dollars.
So it's like, like shrinkflation for the NFL. I saw a TikTok about shrinkflation. Like it's insane. You're aware of this, right?
It's so real. Oh yeah. I mean, this is like the, you know, I got fewer chips in my bag of chips. But it's all that.
But it's so shameless. This one TikToker went through it, you know, example by example. There's probably 20 or more things she showed. What they'll do is they'll have the same bottle of detergent or same plastic jug, right? And they'll call one of them the mega pack instead of the regular. Yeah. The mega pack has less detergent in it.
But it's called Mega.
It's called Mega Pack.
So you think it's got more. Yes.
Right. They didn't say there's actually more detergent in here. They just call it the Mega Pack. Another packaging said this one is bigger size, more value. It didn't include more product. The packaging was bigger. And the more value is just a term of art, I guess. It's a non-provable opinion. Value. What's value exactly? So this is how they get away with it. They even have some packaging where they draw a line or they print a line on the back of the label and it says product only comes up to this line because people were returning these things going, hey, this thing's 3/4 full. Yeah. And they're like, nope, this is how it comes. So this is the NFL for you right now. And they're going to give an 18th game off the union. The dumbass union's going to give it away for like less padded practices instead of a billion dollars, which they should. And it just keeps on going and going. The Packers may have to go to Brazil to play the goddamn Eagles this year. And you know I'm not going to get to go.
Well, or maybe you don't want to go, depending on how you feel
about
Brazil.
Well, that's true. No, it's a third world country, but I believe the one city, Rio, is kind of interesting is if you stay out of the crime areas. But yeah, so there's that, and it just goes on and on. Can we talk about the coach's photo?
One more thing on shrinkflation that bugs. You're in the cereal aisle. Imagine you're at the cereal aisle, Zabe, and you're trying to make your choice of cereal. What is your preferred cereal, by the way? Every adult has got one preferred cereal.
Well, I mean, hard to beat Lucky Charms, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Fruit Loops are always good. Corn Flakes, Apple Jacks are the bomb. Probably my top three would be Lucky Charms, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Apple Jacks. There's my bing bang boom.
I think you happened to stroll into cereals 1, 2, and 3 in sugar content. So congratulations on that.
Well, I'm getting off of the cereals. I'm trying to. I need to.
All right. Okay. Now, are those boxes facing you, or they spine? Is the front facing you, or is the spine of the box facing you in the aisle? The front. And you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, they're thinner.
These things they're so thin. They are half as thick as they were 5 years ago. Yeah. It is ridiculous, and it's way more expensive. The price is practically doubled, and the amount of food has gone down by half. Yeah. It's absurd.
Yeah. Well, don't eat as much bad for you cereal. And realize that this is called capitalism. They can get away with
it. Is. Stop it. That's such lazy crap.
Really?
Oh, well, should the government come in and decide, you know, you have to have this much and price it this way? You want price regulation on cereal?
No, I don't. I said that's capitalism. So in other words, yes, you're getting less. They're trying to trick you with the packaging, but there's nothing you can do. And it's the price of living in a free capitalist society. Too fucking bad. It costs what it costs. Now, if you claim that I don't want the government coming in trying to force them to do anything, if truly there's a profit margin to be made between what General Mills is selling a box of Rice Krispies for versus a similar product, someone's going to swoop in and claim that margin, even if it's 5 or 6 cents a box.
Have you ever had do you ever buy your cereal out of the bag, the cheap stuff that's bagged, Malto Meal brand or whatever?
Yeah, the big ones.
Do you ever
do that? No, I never chase the nickel dime bullshit. of savings. I don't play that game. I know a lot of people do, and they're like, why would you want to pay more? And it's like, I don't want to pay more, but it doesn't fucking matter. Have you seen my heating bill? Do you know what it costs to send my daughter to college? Like, do you know how many Sony cameras I have? Like, I will scrimp elsewhere. I'm not worried about the cereal bill. But okay. All right. So let's talk Coach's photo for a second. Why does this thing have such an allure amongst us in the sports media? It's a fucking photo. Who cares? Why is it written about, talked about every year in such a funny way? Do you have any theories on that?
I saw this photo and somebody talking about how Mike McDaniel owned the other 31 coaches in the coach's photo. I'm like, what? He's just sitting in the corner. What are you talking about? I mean, is it... Are we so starved for football that we're breaking this? We're breaking the photo down.
Yes.
I am baffled by the. Do we need Pro Football Focus to give us the photo grade?
It's just funny because the photo always has a few Easter eggs that you want to pick apart. Like, wow, look at how thick Robert Sulla's beard is at this point. Hey, sure does look like, you know, John Harbaugh has to take a shit right now. How come, you know, Andy Reid's not as fat as we thought, actually, now that he's in a Hawaiian shirt, like things like that. Bill Belichick looks grumpy. I'm kind of sad Belichick's not in the photo. You know, this to me is like Game of Thrones, where these coaches are these characters that we've come to know and hate and love and get frustrated with. And when the characters on our favorite TV show, known as the NFL, leave, we feel a little bit of an emptiness.
I guess. I mean, people do. I know that, you know, my life revolves around the NFL, but I don't really care about this.
I bragged that I could name all but three of the coaches in the photo. It ended up I missed at least 10 of them.
Okay. Yeah.
And I had to look up the names. I had to look up the names of the new coach in Tennessee and the new coach in Seattle. Quick, who are they? Right, bro. You don't even NFL.
I'm in vacation mode. Don't hit me with this.
Oh, okay. That's what you're gonna use. Okay.
Yes.
I didn't know him either, by the way.
I don't remember.
It's Mike McDonald for the Seahawks. All right?
Oh, right. Not Mike.
You're like,
McCarthy.
Oh yeah. And then Brian Callahan.
Of course.
The Titans. Brian Callahan. Yeah. How about this tampering bullshit that they're claiming? Well, I shouldn't say bullshit. You're on the end that might receive something from it. Did the Falcons tamper with your boy Kirk?
100%. Absolutely did. I mean, not just because he was signed like 1 hour into free agency and you can't hammer out a contract that fast. You know, that's certainly part of it. But our coach, Kevin O'Connell, at the Combine already said without saying it that he was being tampered with. You know, he had already talked and he basically all but came out and said that he's being tampered with then at the Combine, which is still 2 weeks early. So there's almost a 100% chance. And I mean, the NFL has levied draft pick fines and awarded draft picks to the team that was on the receiving end of this deal. The Vikings could end up with a Falcon draft pick out of this and they should get one. That's my feeling.
Do you think they will?
No, because they're spineless and they never do that stuff. And it's happening. Here's the thing. It's happening all the time. And I think if they try to draw the line on one, there are going to be a bunch of people who are like, why didn't you do this one and this one and this one? But I think this thing is super overt. And if there is a smoking gun, they absolutely should act on it.
From a philosophical standpoint, why should it even be a rule? Like Kirk was going to be a free agent. What harm was given to the Vikings that somebody was already in his ear going, hey, as soon as the season's over, you're a free agent. We'd love to have you.
Well, why stop it there? What about week 12 of the NFL season? Why can't the Falcons have been in touch with Kirk back then?
Well, I think as soon as he started the season as a free agent to be, then what difference does it make? Only when a guy is currently under contract would I think it would be tampering. For beyond the year, I guess. I don't know. It just seems like a bit much. You knew he was heading into free agency. So did the Falcons. They wanted to be first in line to whisper sweet nothings.
Yes, and they were first in line, and they set a price that was so high that it scared off all the other suitors, I think, including the Vikings.
Yeah. All right, so real quick, are you guys honing in on J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah, I think they almost have to, Zabe. So here's what's happening. Our general manager has had two horrific drafts and off seasons, in which he's accomplished. He's done is really almost entirely set the team back, especially by age, because we have very, very few young, talented players coming up through the system because he's drafted so poorly. So from his vantage point, this whole thing is, I may as well try to hook my wagon to a franchise quarterback because I'm out of here if I don't get him. If I don't get my franchise guy and he hits, then I'm out. So
and as a bonus, you're right, that's true, but also as a bonus, it buys him a year or two. Because you can go, hey, you know, he's looking pretty good. Like, let's see what year two looks like for old J.J. McCarthy. Right. So it buys him 2 years, and if he hits, he can keep his job. Otherwise, he's fucked. He's out of there.
Right, because he is anyway. So he has nothing to lose by giving up future assets. So the Vikings have two first-rounders, right? So to go from 11 to, say, 5, which the Vikings might need to do, go get the Chargers pick at 5, they would have to pay their two first-rounders this year, the first-rounder next year, probably plus some more. But if you're the general manager who's not going to be here, if this kid doesn't work out, why do you care?
Yeah.
Right? So, go ahead. Give away future assets. Doesn't matter to him.
Yeah, which is very inefficient and no way to run a business. And if the NFL were smart, teams would tie the GMs to the current quarterback. Because when you're without a quarterback, you're so panicked and you're so thirsty. You'll take home the 4 at the end of the bar, whose girlfriends are 6s and 7s, but you're like, all right, fuck it. I'll take her home.
It's the Christian Ponder theory right there, right? You're so desperate, you convince yourself that Christian Ponder is worth pick 12 of the draft when most of the rest of the league is a second or third round talent.
And the thing is, you're probably gonna have to move up to get JJ, which is gonna even sting more.
That's the hard part.
Bit of a reach. It would be a bit of a reach at your natural spot. You're gonna have to pay more to get up there because things are gonna get crazy by the time the draft comes.
Oh, I kind of hope so. I mean, it's one of the best parts of the draft is all that drama, right? Zabe, this is our soap opera. This is our day, the days of our lives, the general hospital right here.
I don't ever want to go back to the draft in which who was the Chiefs lineman who went 1-1 and some other lineman went 1-2. Remember the lineman draft where there's no quarterbacks worth taking number one? I don't want to go back to those days. I can't. All right, 30 seconds, and I'm going to release you to your lovely bride and your vacation. Will Diddy go to jail?
Will he be alive to go to jail, or will he go to jail?
Alive and go to jail.
Yes. I think there's too much. The notoriety level is too high, and there's already too much corroborating evidence against him. Yes.
He could be.
I say yes.
He could be Jeffrey Epstein plus Michael Jackson plus Harvey Weinstein.
If they can get to everything on all of his tapes, the biggest negative that's ever hit Hollywood. If it's as big as people are suggesting, right, Zabe?
Bigger than the Cuba Gooding Jr. vehicle boat trip? I don't think so. A bigger disaster than Ishtar? No way.
Ishtar, you remember that well. Yes. Right. Yes.
I don't know.
If it's all true, Zabe.
If they can prove it, and we'll see. I mean, they already killed off one guy in prison and then said, whoops, we lost the tapes. Can they do it again?
Again.
Ah.
Yes. Because you know what? Who paid the price on Epstein? Who paid
my
the price
girl,
for
my
losing
girl
Jazane, the tape?
Nobody. They.
Nobody.
Yes.
Nobody paid any price. That's why they can do it again. Because nobody pays any price for that bullshit.
Yeah. They put old my girl Jizmax under the prison for life. And no one else did. They punished the one sex trafficking, but not the Johns who were participating in it. So go figure. All right, Charge, you've been way too kind with your time. Enjoy Deadwood, okay? And send a picture or two to me, and we'll talk to you next week.
You're the best. Bye-bye.
Okay, so good day. Our topic today is music.
That's right, like, because my brother and I are now experts in the field.
Yeah,
eh?
Right, because we're a band now. And,
except for him. I'm a band.
Oh, how can you do that, making me look bad? You're such a hose hand.
Yeah, well, take off.
Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great white north.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.